Well, my dear friends, it is wonderful that we are all gathered together again in this place, in our Father's house. Our Father's house is a little different looking today. It is Pentecost. I'm a little concerned about flames of fire. There's a lot of paper products hang all over the place in here, but God will keep us safe. It'll be fine. All right, so the thing is that this is VBS week, as you can tell. We are heading into another week of reaching out and touching, hundreds of children with God's love this week. And a little bit later in the service, we're going to be dedicating the people who are going to be serving, and we're also going to be dedicating the children who are present, who are going to be attending. What a week we have to look forward to. What an opportunity our God has given us. Today is Pentecost, the day that we remember that the Holy Spirit was sent by the Father and the Son to us to be our teacher, our guide, our counselor, our comforter. So we'll be talking about that as we get into the service today as well. So let us begin our worship service today, the day that we remember when the Holy Spirit came to each and every one of us individually in our baptism, as we begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this family, Lord, that you have surrounded us with, Lord, the way that you have brought us together in you, that in, because of the love that you had for us, the salvation that you earned for us, the faith that you have given us, this relationship that we enjoy with you, Lord, and because we love you, we love all these people that you have created. And Lord, we pray that you would continue to grow us in relationship to each other. Help us, Lord, as we grow. Help us to love each other better. Help us to love you better. Help us, Lord, to live out the faith that you have given us, Lord, so that more people can hear of you and your mighty deeds. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day and this opportunity to be in your presence and return worship to you for all you have done. In your holy name we pray. Amen. All right, my friends, let us confess our sins. It just makes sense that if we're going to come into the presence of a holy God, that we confess all of the things that are standing between us and him, all of the places that we have fallen short of his will, and receive that perfect absolution, forgiveness of sins that Jesus earned for us on the cross. Please stand as we confess. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. I, a poor sinner, plead guilty before you of all sins. I have lived as if you did not matter and as if I mattered most. Your name I have not honored as I should. My worship and prayers have faltered. I have not let your love have its way with me, and so my love for others has failed. There are those whom I have hurt and those whom I have failed to help. My thoughts and desires have been soiled with sin. I want sorry for all of this, and I ask for grace. I want to do better. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, we have been forgiven. A burden has been lifted, and now we have the opportunity to sing praise and thanksgiving to the God who has saved us. Let's sing.
Sons of men and angels. It is well. It is. morning. The first scripture reading today is Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one had heard their own language being uttered. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hear them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in their own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd, "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God said, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billow of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is the word of God. Amen.
All right, children, it is now time for the kids' message. So if you guys want to come forward at this time, our school director has it today. This is Kathy Frazier.
Good morning.
You guys still tired? It's summer. You get to wake up a little bit late, right? Well, I'm so excited to talk to you guys this morning because I get to share something that we're celebrating today. It's kind of like a birthday because it's the first time in the Bible that we really see part of God. Now, we know there's three parts of God. Do you guys know what the three parts of God?
The Son and the...
God the Father, that's right. So we have God the Father. Can you say God the Father? God the Son.
God the Son.
Who's the Son?
Jesus,
right? Okay, and we've known about him. He came on Christmas. He died on Easter. Did lots and lots of things. But then there's a third part of God, and it's God the Holy Spirit.
Okay. We don't really think about the Holy Spirit.
Well, and that's what's important about today. We get to celebrate the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit works. So let me tell you this. First of all, let me start with our scripture verse. So when the day of Pentecost came, there were many people were all together in one place. Then suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, when we think about the Holy Spirit, is it something you can see?
No.
Is it
your parents, your siblings, yourself?
You're ahead of me, aren't you? You know exactly what I'm going to talk about. Well, for the rest of all of us, Holy Spirit's kind of complicated. It's kind of hard to understand, but it reminds me of the wind. Now, one way we know the wind is around is that we can hear it. Have you ever woken up in the morning and heard the wind?
I've heard huge gusts.
What about this? Can you hear the wind with my blow dryer? Yeah, you can hear it, right? It's making some noise. Can you hear it when it's outside, maybe blowing through the trees? Or it just sounds like, what does it sound like? Right? You can hear it. So sometimes I can also turn on the TV and hear the news people say, oh, it's really windy today. And I know that that the wind is outside. But I can't see the wind, right? No. But I know it's there because I can hear it. Now, another way we know that the wind is there is it can move things, right? Thank you, Phoenix. Do you think it can move this? Can I hold it? Thank you. Is my hair dryer moving it? Yeah. Now, this is not a very powerful hair dryer, right? It's a toy. Okay. But I know that the wind is there because it can move things like little streamers. It can move the leaves on the trees. It can move all the stuff outside, right? Now, can you see the wind actually touching all of those things? No, but
only
we can.
Only with special things.
Only with special things. But we special know it's tool. There because we can see what the wind is doing, right?
Yep.
Another way we can know the wind is there is we can feel it. Who's ever felt the wind?
I mean, one time it blew.
Do you feel it on your cheeks when you're outside?
Yeah, one time it blew so hard.
You can feel it in your hair.
One time it blew so hard.
Can you hold your hands out? Can you feel it on your hands?
I can't.
Yeah. That's real light. But you can feel it, right? So you can't see the wind touching you, but you can feel it on your skin. Now, as we celebrate Pentecost, God's Holy Spirit was like the wind. We couldn't see the Holy Spirit working that day, but we knew that it was there. We can know the Holy Spirit is here with us because we can actually hear the Holy Spirit.
The fire did not settle on their head.
The Bible says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him." Now, we can't see the Holy Spirit, but we know it's there because he speaks to our hearts. Another way we can know that the Holy Spirit is there is we can see him moving people to do God's will. The Bible says the Spirit of God moves his people to speak and to do things for him. Now, we can't see God, but we can see people doing things that God's Holy Spirit has moved them to do. Now, VBS is one of those things. Who's going to VBS this week? Are you so excited? I see lots of blue t-shirts. That's great. We get to see the Holy Spirit this week with VBS because we're going to see God using all of the helpers, all of the leaders helping you guys learn about God and Jesus. Now, we can also know that the Holy Spirit is there because we can feel his presence. Now, it doesn't feel like wind, but the Bible says, "I will fear no evil, for thou art mine." The Bible also says, "If we love one another, God lives in us." We can't see the Holy Spirit, but we know he is there because we can feel his presence in our life. Can we pray?
The fire also did not settle on their heads. It never touched it.
Yep.
It only hovered.
That is exactly right.
And
pretty amazing stuff,
right?
Was
burned.
And is the Holy Spirit amazing?
Yep.
Yes, absolutely. Let's fold our hands and repeat after me. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Holy Spirit. Fold your hands. Even though we can't see him, we are thankful we can hear him in our hearts, feel his presence in our daily lives, and see him moving us to do your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, everyone. Have a great morning.
All right, it is now time for little worship, so anybody 4-year-old through fourth grade, with the permission of your parents, can head to the cross in the center aisle. We'll be having them all come back after the sermon time. And for the rest of us, let us open up God's word today once again and read the scripture reading, which is John chapter 14, verses 15 to 31. Jesus is talking to his disciples, and this is a conversation that happens in the upper room just before Jesus is arrested and put to death. And Jesus is preparing his disciples for being without him for a while. And he says, "If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father and that you are in me and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not the world?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All of this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all these things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You have heard me say, I am going away, and I am going to come back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now, before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not say much more to you, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold over me, but he comes so that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave." You know, lots of different tasks to do as a pastor, and one of the jobs I get to do is I get to talk to young people when they're getting ready to get married. And one of the conversations we have is how the marriage relationship is supposed to work. So many people in this world believe in a very equitable relationship, and by equitable we mean that everybody puts in about half, and then the whole comes from the two halves that come together, right? And so if the wife does her half and the husband does his half, then the marriage is going to be fine and work just great. That's not how it works. Not at all. The way it works is that each person in this relationship has to put everything into it. Now, that's a really scary thing to do, if you think about it, right? I mean, the reason people get married is because they're young and they're in love and they're not seeing straight. Because if they were seeing straight, marriage would be a lot more scary, all right? Because here's what you're about to do. You're about to put all of your faith, trust, yourself into the hands of a person who has absolutely no idea how to take care of you. That's what you're going to do. Let me tell you what it's going to do. It's going to hurt. Because we're not perfect. And because our relationships are just, we're not capable of living out the kind of relationship that God really wants us to have. We let each other down. And when we're in this relationship where each person gives half, what inevitably happens is somebody lets the other one down, mostly both directions, but at some point, somebody perceives that they're putting more in than the other person, and then resentment begins, you know, because they're not living up to the deal. And then things go downhill from there. Because now it's a matter of keeping score, keeping track. Who's hurt the other one more? Who's done more? Who's done less? Who owes who? And things just go bad. Then there's another relationship where it's even worse. And that's where one person is putting in a ton of energy and effort, and the other person is in full agreement with the first person. One person says, I love you, and the other person says, I agree, I love me too. And this is not going to go anyplace great, right? I mean, this is one of those relationships where the one just constantly makes demands of the other and just says, come on, give me. And when finally the other person is just tired or just, you know, exhausted, just can't keep up anymore, the one turns to them and says, if you loved me, if you loved me, you would do what I want you to do for me. And you know what? Today's text, is that what God's saying? I mean, listen to what it says in the very beginning of the text. It says this. It says, if you love me, keep my commands. You know, is that what God's doing here? Is he saying, hey, look, this is a transactional relationship, right? If you love me the way you say you do, then how about you put some skin in the game and show me how much you love me? Think that's what's going on here? I don't think so. I think that that kind of reading of the text kind of takes this whole thing really out of the context of what is going on here. Because what is going on here is Jesus is preparing his disciples for the day after he dies, when they're going to be alone. He's preparing his disciples in advance for the day after he ascends into heaven. And the disciples are going to suddenly feel kind of alone. But that, we can't forget what comes before. And what comes before is the entire reading of the scriptures. I mean, we start with, you know, Genesis, which is the place where God creates this incredibly perfect, beautiful world, and everything is as it should be, right up until we sin. And when we sin, everything falls apart. When we sin, our relationship with God is damaged. When we sin, that sin causes the world to be poisoned, the creation to be corrupted, everything to go to pieces. And the Father comes to his people in the garden, and they lie to him, and they try to make excuses, and they do all these things. And finally, at the end, God has judgment for them, but then he also has a promise. He says, you can't be in this garden anymore. You know, you're going to have to work really, really hard, toil. There's going to be pain in childbirth. But I'm going to send somebody. I'm going to send one who is going to save you, because here's the thing. The Father looked at these people that he had created. He knew they had fallen short. He knew that they hadn't lived up to the expectation that he had for them. He knew that they had broken themselves and broken this incredible world, this all this creation that he had made for them. They just ruined it all. But the Father loved them. And so he promised them redemption. He promised them a Savior, that one that would come. And finally, after all the prophets and all the times, the revelations of the Old Testament, where God gave little breadcrumbs, little bits and pieces of prophecy here and there about what this story was going to look like, at just the right time, Jesus was sent into the world, and Jesus came. And we got to talk about why he came. He came, he tells us in the text, he came because he loves the Father, right? And the question is, what does love look like? When we're talking about the love between Jesus and the love of the Father, love looks like obedience. And he says this, he says, I love the Father, and so I do exactly what he says. And I'm going to carry out his plan of salvation. I'm going to do it carefully. I'm going to do it meticulously. I'm going to do it according to his schedule. I mean, how many times in Scripture does the people, you know, come to Jesus with things and he goes, it's not time for that yet. You know? I mean, that's not the plan yet. He just constantly sticking to this plan of salvation, this plan that the Father has for him, and he obediently walks out that plan because he is in agreement with the Father. Right? I mean, we have one God. God has one will. It is that all people be saved. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are in full agreement with that. And the same love that for us that the Father has, Jesus has, and he is walking this out because he loves the Father, but also because he loves us. Because just like the Father looked at the people that he had made, and chose to love them in spite of everything that they had done wrong, that Jesus had that same heart for us, and he loves us. He loves us more than you can ever imagine. He loves us so much that he was willing to go to the cross and to suffer hell on the cross so that we would never have to suffer hell. He wanted us to be in heaven with him so badly that he was willing to pay any price to make that happen. He wanted us to have our lives back. He says, I want you to have life and to have it abundantly. He wants you to have your life back in all of that meaning, the meaning in this world and that meaning in the next world. This is what he wants for us. This is why he walked out that obedience for us. And it works so well because the Father and the Son are so tightly connected and related. Jesus says he is the perfect representation of the Father, that if we know him, we know the Father. You know, that the Father is in Jesus and Jesus is in the Father. I mean, he says all of these things. He's very, very, very close relationship. And then he starts talking about the relationship that he created with us. Because remember how we are saved. Remember what Jesus did on the cross. On the cross, what Jesus did is he willingly, because he is God, took your sin, the credit for the blame, the guilt of all of your sin, and he put it on himself. Are we in him? He carried our burden. He became the curse for us. And he fully paid the penalty for that sin so that we would never have to. And then in our baptism, we remember that God gives us new life. A baptism is a funeral service for our old selves, that in baptism, we are buried with Christ by baptism into death and raised up with his new life, that because he lives, we live. And so think about that. If in baptism we receive the life of Jesus, the life that was resurrected, new life in him, is he in us? Is this like some sort of a minimalistic he is in us? This is a very, very large, concrete, earth-shattering, life-changing he is in us. Think about how close our relationship is with this Savior, with this one who died in our place, taking our sins upon himself, and in exchange for our messed up, hopeless, sinful, destroyed lives, gives us his perfection so that when we stand before God on the last day, we are righteous, not with our own righteousness, but with the righteousness that we have received from him. How close are we to this Jesus? And he says this, I love you. I have done all this for you. I have given you a new heart, a new mind, a new spirit. And we, with that new spirit, have a revolutionary thing that happens inside us when we are converted, when we are brought from sinner to saint, when we are covered by his righteousness through the faith that the Holy Spirit brings us, our minds are shifted so that we can love God again. You see, before we're saved, we can't love God. It's just not in our wiring. We're sinful, and sinfulness causes us to be selfish. It causes us to want to be in control. It causes us to want what I want when I want it, you know, have it your way right away. It's like Burger King, only really evil. And this is what our relationship with God would be if it weren't for him saving us, redeeming us, changing us, converting us, making us into something we weren't before, connecting us to himself through this unbelievable salvation that he earned for us on the cross. We would not be able to love God because we would not want to give any control over to him. We would not want to acknowledge him. We would not want to have anything to do with him because he would want to run us. And we don't want him to be the boss of me. But because when we understand the salvation that Jesus has for us, when we understand God's unbelievable love for us, when we understand the sacrifice of Christ, when we understand what he has created in us and where we are going because of what he has done, we are filled with a passionate love for our God. The gratefulness is immense because we understand what it is he has done for us and what he has rescued us from. That he has rescued us from hell, yes, but he's rescued us from a hopeless life of selfishness and conflict here on earth as well. He has saved us so much. He has saved us so thoroughly. And because of this, we love him. And God tells us what that love looks like. It's like when we are filled with that love, what does that love cause us to do? It causes us to obey. It causes us to walk out the faith that God has given us, that God has made us righteous with the righteousness of Christ, and then that as we walk out this life and walk out the love that God has put inside of us, he says, the way you show your love is through obedience. You do the things I told you to do. This is what it means to love me. You say you love me. Great. Here is how it looks. This is what it's like. And we ask, well, then what does it mean? What did God tell us to do? Well, love God and love your neighbor, right? And if you need more detail, let's take the Ten Commandments, right? You know, put God before everything, honor God before everything, you know, honor God's name, honor God's day. How about the other commandments? You know, love your, obey your authorities, obey your parents. How about this one? It's a really good one. Let's not kill each other. Seems like a good place to start, right? Yeah, not bad. Honor marriage and sex and, like, you know, actually respect each other and the creation that God made in each other. And use this body that God gave us in a way that brings glory to him and not something that ends up causing pain and hardship for the people around us, for our children, or for ourselves. How about that? You know, how about we not take each other's stuff? It's a good place to go. How about we don't lie about each other and rip each other's reputations to pieces? Even on Facebook. right? How about we be content with the people and things that God has given us? That we acknowledge that he is the Lord of all and that he is the one that distributes his blessings as he wishes, and that we would willingly, contentedly accept whatever it is he gives us and be grateful to him for what he has blessed us with. You know? Good place to start. And then, of course, he has the Great Commission at the end, right? Right before he goes up into heaven. What's another way we're supposed to love God and love our neighbor? Supposed to talk about this stuff. That's going to be easy these days, right? Everybody loves to hear about religion. And everybody loves to hear about all the things that God has to say about living life in this world, right? And nobody's ever going to get upset with us or mad at us about that. And the truth is, who cares? Thing is this. If somebody's going to get upset with you because you do what God tells you to do, how long are they going to be upset with you? Worst case scenario, the rest of your life, right? Okay, how long is that? Not so bad, really, when you consider that we are eternal. You know, we're going to be around forever. And the thing is that, you know, the risk is that somebody might get mad at you if you talk about God, right? But what's the reward if it goes better than you think it might go? You know what? That person that you're afraid might get mad at you could end up becoming a child of God, and their life could be changed, and they could actually be able to understand the immensity of God's love for them and what Jesus has done for them, and that they might be able to fully understand and fully appreciate and fully be brought into this family of God, the people who have been redeemed, the people who have been saved, and the people who are heading for heaven. That might be worth risking for, right? But you know what? We're really weak. We're not very good at this. And God knows that, which is why Pentecost. God knew that Jesus knew he was leaving. And he said, I'm going to be with you always, but not so that we can talk, right? Not so that I can ask all the questions that I have. And so the Father and the Son sends the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit moves in. He brings faith. He teaches us. You know, when you read the Bible and you're like, I don't understand all of this. This is kind of a lot to take in. You know, you can definitely talk to pastors and teachers and stuff that can help you to weed through it and figure it out. But you know what really is going to make it work and make you understand what's going on in there is the Holy Spirit. Do you understand you have God with you all the time? You have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. That the Spirit has promised that he will call things to remembrance when you have to speak. He said, when you get called up, because, you know, the church has been through some really difficult times in history, and he says, when the church is called, when you're called up and you have to stand on trial before great leaders, don't worry ahead of time about what to say, because the Spirit will tell you in the moment what to say. We all have that promise. The Spirit of God lives in us. We can look back to the day that we were baptized and know that the Holy Spirit has moved in. Guys, listen. The relationship that God has with you is 100% relationship. Do you understand what this means? This means that the God of creation, the one who made everything, that Jesus, his eternal Son, who came and lived on this planet as a person perfectly for you, and the Spirit that God has sent into us so that we can have his strength and do his work in this world, that he is the one that energizes, inhabits, and helps us to do his work in this world, that God is 100% putting himself into you. 100%. We are so damaged by so many relationships that weren't 100% relationships that sometimes we can't quite believe that that kind of thing could be true. That somebody would love us completely for us. That they pour everything into us, and so we hold back. You know, it's like, well, I trust God. He takes away my sin. And I trust God that he has some really good things to say in the Bible, but you know what? I just can't give everything. I can't submit myself completely to God because I just don't know. Maybe he's not completely 100%, and here's what I have to say to you. Trust him. Trust the God who knows everything, the God who loves you so deeply, the God who has for thousands of years been pouring himself 100% into you and to your salvation, a God who has promised never to leave you alone, and that right now Jesus is in heaven preparing a place for you, that he is pouring himself completely into you, that the Father made this creation for you, made an eternal home for you, that you are covered, that the Spirit walks with you every day. Know that he is 100% for you, and what he wants from us is that we would be 100% for him. And we're not there yet, and we won't be in this life. It's another one of those things that we get to look forward to, folks. That we're so close with this Jesus. He is in us, and we are in him. But on the last day, we'll understand it. We'll finally get it right. We'll finally be able to love him with abandon, love him without any scars or damage from other relationships. We'll be able to love him with full faith and full commitment and full truth. And it's the day we're looking forward to. But for the now, trust him. Give yourself over to him. Study his word and do what it says. And you're going to say, well, wait a minute, that doesn't make a lot of sense. But my professor at college said this, but this, but this, and we're going to have all these things. Trust him. Read his word. Do what it says. Trust that the God who loves you so much, the God who knows everything, the God who is in control, the God who does not leave you alone. Trust that he knows what he's talking about. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are so good. Amazing. Beyond anything we can imagine. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with each and every one of us. Lord, as we grow in faith in you, as we learn to love you, Lord, as we learn what it means that you love us, as we learn how to obey in that love, Lord, and as we learn to trust, Lord, that your word is true, that is perfectly good. Lord, all these things we bring before you today, and we lay ourselves at your feet, knowing that we're not worthy, but at the same time knowing that you have made us worthy. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done. In your holy name we pray. Amen. All right, my friends, it is now time that we would collect the offering. And so as the offering is collected, let us join in song and acknowledge and glory in the fact that God is our help and that all of our help comes from him.
Waters rise and die.
My friends, let us stand as we confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. All right, my friends. First, I would like to invite forward anybody who is going to be volunteering during the week next week during Vacation Bible School. And then I also would like to invite forward anybody who is going to be attending Vacation Bible School. And then I would also like to invite forward anybody who has already put a lot of effort into this whole Vacation Bible School, because there's been a little effort put into some of this stuff around here. Yeah. What's that? Oh, very good. That's you too, Jake. Come on. You helped me put that up. You crashed that plane. It's your fault. All right, very good. What else we got going on here? Is there anybody else that we need to talk about? I think that'll do. All right, folks, let's just say this. What we have here is an amazing opportunity. Our God has given us, and the number of people that we're going to get to talk to, the wonderful people that we're going to get to minister to, and the little people that are here today, you guys are going to get a chance to witness too, right? Because a lot of these people, a lot of the kids that show up are going to be your classmates, and you're going to get a chance to influence and to talk to them and to remind them of how much God loves them, just like the teachers and everybody else does. And so what the whole goal of this is that more people would understand exactly how much God loves them and what Jesus has done for them, that he wants to bring them into his family, and if that they're already in his family, that he wants to bring them deeper and rich in a deeper and richer way so that they can continue to serve him evermore. This is our goal, is it not? Absolutely. So can we pray? Let's pray for you, and then let's pray for all the kids who are going to be coming. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for this amazing team of people who are going to come together, Lord, to do your ministry this week among all these children. Lord, I pray that you would be with them, that you would be in them, and that they would be in you, that your spirit would be in them, calling things to remembrance, Lord, helping them with the right words to say at the right moment, guiding them so that they know where to go and what to do, and even when they don't understand why they went someplace just in time for some child who's in need, that you would be the one who is guiding them at every moment, bringing us, Lord, helping us, Lord, so that we can show people your love. And Lord, I pray, Lord, for all of these young people, these children, Lord, their families, the people who are going to get a chance to touch, Lord, this week, the people who we can speak your gospel and your word into. I pray that you would be with them. Send your spirit to work in them and on them, Lord. Help them to be prepared to hear the message we have. Help them, Lord, to know you. Help them to grow in a relationship with you. Thank you, Jesus, for all of these people and all you have done for our church. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Thank you, my friends. All right. And as they sit down, we'll talk about all the prayer requests this week. There's a lot going on. We want to be in prayer. We have multiple shootings, stabbings, all kinds of horrible things going on in this world. And we want to be in prayer for all of that situation. The people who are hurt, the people who are caring for them, the people who are surviving them, and the people who are doing these things, and just our culture and the sickness that we have in it. We want to be praying for Carla Bomarito. She's having knee surgery this week. We want to be praying for Mary Borgschulte. She's coming out of rehab this week and coming home. Be in prayer for all of that. She's coming home. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy. It's just she's coming home. And we also want to be praying for Edna Mertz as she's experiencing a lot of pain lately. For Alex Teuscher, who's been sick in the hospital for quite some time. We want to be praying for Lisa and the rest of the family as they continue to pray for Alex as well. So let's stand as we pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, you are so good. You have brought us into this relationship with you, into this fellowship, into this family, and that you just continue to bless us, Lord, with opportunities to share your word. I pray that you would be with us, Lord, as we head into this week of mission and ministry with the Vacation Bible School. Lord, I pray that you would be glorified through the work of your people, and that you would be the strength, send your spirit, Lord, so that the words that we speak and the things that we do are fruitful, Lord, in helping people draw closer to you. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with our country, Lord, and all the people in it, Lord, that there's so many people who are just not healthy, not in a good place, and that's causing them to do some terrible things. I pray, Lord, that you would be with us as we figure out what to do, as we return to you, Lord, as we submit to you and to your will, as we turn to you for the healing that we need. Lord, I pray that you would be with us. Lord, I pray that you would be with Carla and Mary and Edna and Alex, Lord, as they are continuing to in their sickness and moving toward health. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with them, Lord, and not just with them, but with the people who are caring for them, so that because this is hard for everybody. Lord, I pray that you would give us opportunities to encourage them and lift them up, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be your body, caring for the members that you have given us. Lord, all these things we bring for you today, and we pray that you would be with us, and we pray the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you, this do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you, this cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Lord of all lords, King will die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor
Once again, our God has blessed us, this time with his presence in the body and blood of his Son that we have just received, and through which we are promised forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. So as we depend on him and trust in his word, trust in his promises, depart in his peace and in his joy. Amen. And receive our Lord's blessing this day. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Let us stand up as we sing the final song together.
My shelter, my banner.
right, my friends. A few announcements we have, so have a seat real quick here. First of all, adult Bible study is going to be taught by Pastor Bill, my dad, and it's going to be in the gym. So you're going to be heading down that way. We need to work on the church right after this. Believe it or not, we're not done yet. Let's see here. Oh, and the kids, you're going to be meeting in room 105. So as the parents move toward the gym, you're going to pass room 105. So it should all work out really, really well. Also, if anybody is after the service would help us to collect up all the Bibles, we're going to have 300 little people in here. And they're not easy on the Bibles that are sitting in the pews. They can't read them, but they're tough on them anyway. So we're going to collect them all up and put them in the prayer chapel. So if some people could help us out with that. Also, tomorrow, Dine to Donate for Guatemala, raising funds for Guatemala. We make about $250 every time we do one of those Dine to Donates. So we really do appreciate it. And just think of it this way. Nobody has to do the dishes. So, and then with that, we are going to be making another adult trip to Guatemala, October 15th through 22nd. So if anybody is interested or has questions, don't ask me. Ask Sherry. Sherry Haas. You can talk to me. I'll give you her phone number, okay? That'll be how that goes. All right, very good. My friends, God's blessings on your week, and I will see you in the back.